الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أيها الأخوة في الله، يسر إخوانكم بمكتبة الموحدين بجزر البحر الكاريبي والولايات المتحدة أن نواصل معكم هذا الدرس الأسبوعي مع فضيلة الشيخ صلاح كنتوش حفظه الله، الذي سيقوم بشرح رسالة الجامع لعبادة الله وحده لشيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله. It's our pleasure at Muwahideen Publications in the Caribbean and U.S. to have with us our noble Sheikh Salah Kantouche. May Allah bless and preserve him. We'll be continuing his weekly explanation of the treaties, the comprehensive and concise definition of worshipping Allah. The Sheikh of Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah. Hadi atfadlar, Sheikh Mashkura Majura.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah wahdah. والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده وعلى آله وأصحابه، أما بعد، فمتابعة لما نقرأه في هذه الرسالة الطيبة المباركة الجامع لعبادة الله وحده، وكنا في آخر الأمر قد توصلنا إلى قوله رحمه الله والنذر، هذه أتى بها عطفا على ما سبق من قوله من أنواعها الدعاء، ثم استطرد في ذكر هذه الأمور وذكر النذر. والنذر هو أو صورة النذر أن يلتزم المسلم شيئا من القربات أو الطاعات على سبيل الإيجاب بعد أن كان في أصلها مستحبا. النذر صورته أن يلتزم المسلم بشيء، يلزم الإنسان نفسه بشيء من القربات أو الطاعات على سبيل الوجوب بعد أن كان في أصلها مستحبا. فمثلا الصيام النافلة، فيصوم مثلا يوم الاثنين أو الخميس، فيقول لله علي أن أصوم يوم الاثنين، فيلزمه أن يفي بهذا النذر. والنذر الذي هو هذه أو النذر الذي هو أصل العبادة، بحيث أنه لا يجوز أن يقدم لله جل وعلا شيئا من القربان، سواء كان صياما أو كان ذبحا أو كان صدقة أو أي عبادة من العبادات التي هي في أصلها مستحبة، لا يجوز صرفها إلا لله سبحانه وتعالى. نعم، تفضل.
أحسن الله إليك. Our Sheikh, may Allah bless and preserve him again, praising Allah and invoking the salat and salam upon the one after whom there should be no prophet, as well as family and companions. He then said that we are continuing, and what we started off with, or what we left off with in our explanation of the treaties last week, this blessed treaties, Al-Jami' al-Ibadati Allahi Wahda, the concise and comprehensive definition of worshipping Allah. And after the author, rahimahullah, mentioning a number of acts of worship that may not be directed to anything or anyone other than Allah. And he began this long list of examples of acts of worship with dua. We have reached in the list of those things, those acts of worship that may not be directed to anyone or anything other than Allah, what he said, rahimahullah, another, which is making a covenant or a vow. The definition of another, or making a vow, is a Muslim making binding upon himself an act of worship such that it becomes obligatory upon him after that act of worship in and of itself was recommended but not obligatory. Again, the definition of another, or making a vow, is a Muslim making binding upon himself an act of worship such that it becomes obligatory upon him after that act of worship originally was not obligatory but simply recommended. So, for example, let's take the act of worship, which is fasting. We have fasting that is recommended, yet not obligatory, like the Muslim fasting on Mondays and Thursdays. If a Muslim makes a vow saying, "It is Allah's right upon me that I fast this Monday," now the Muslim has made it obligatory upon himself. He must fast Monday. So fasting Monday originally was not an obligation or something recommended. But by making this vow, the Muslim has made it obligatory upon himself. And now it becomes binding on him, and he must do it. Nadr, or making a vow, is an act of worship. And so it's not permissible to direct this act of worship like the other acts of worship, like slaughtering, like giving sadaqah, or any type of worship. They may not be directed to anything or anyone other than Allah Azza wa Jalla. Tafadhal Shaykh.
Allah yubarik fikum wa yahfadhkum. Wa hadha an-nadr sallamakum Allah la yakunu mu'tabaran illa in tawaffarat fihi shurut. Nadr la yakunu mu'tabaran illa in tawaffarat fihi shurut. Fa shart al-awwal أن يكون هذا النذر في طاعة، أن يكون هذا النذر في طاعة ولا يكون في غير الطاعة. وهذا يعني منه أنه لا يكون النذر في الأمور المباحة، يعني لا يقول إنسان لله نذر أو لله علي نذر أن أمشي من بيتي إلى السوق، لأن هذا ليس بطاعة، إنما هذا المشي في أصله مباح ولا مدخل له في الطاعة. لا يقول لله علي أن أمشي من بيتي إلى السوق، أو لله علي أن أحمل حقيبتي التي فيها الملابس، يعني نحو هذه الأمور. إلا إن كان هذا الأمر المباح يكون وسيلة في تحصيل شيء واجب. يعني مثلا قال لله علي أن أمشي إلى المسجد، فيعتبر المشي في أصله مباح، لكن لما يكون المشي إلى المسجد فيكون هذا ينتقل من صنعة المباح إلى صنعة الاستحباب ثم إلى صنعة الوجوب باعتبار النذر. هذا الشرط الأول. الشرط الثاني ألا يكون هذا النذر أيضا في معصية، والنبي صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم يقول: من نذر أن يطيع الله فليطعه، ومن نذر أن يعصه فلا يعصه. يعني لا يكون النذر إلا فيما كان طاعة لله، ولا يكون في المعاصي. والشرط الثالث أن يكون هذا النذر في قدرة العبد، قدرة المسلم، فلا نذر فيما لا طاقة فيه، لا نذر فيما لا طاقة فيه، كأن يقول لله علي أن أحمل جبلا، أو لله علي أن أصوم أبدا، فهذا لا يجوز الوفاء به، وهو يعتبر من قسم المعصية، لأنه ألزم نفسه بشيء لا طاقة له به. نعم.
يا السلام عليكم. Shaykh Abdullah continued saying, another, may Allah grant you all safety and security, is not considered another. Means it is not valid unless there are certain prerequisites present in it. The first of the prerequisites that must be present in order for another or vow to be valid is that it has to be in an act of worship. So a person may not make a vow and it's not considered valid. The rules that apply to making another do not apply if a person vows to do something that is not an act of worship. So if something is simply from the things that are permissible, and a person makes a vow to do something that is permissible, then it's not considered another. So if a person says, for example, and makes a statement that usually is considered a statement that makes something another, when they say, for example, it's Allah's right upon me, and I make a vow to Allah to walk from my house to the marketplace. Walking from the house to the marketplace is not an act of worship. So this statement doesn't count as another. Or if a person said, for example, it's Allah's right upon me, and I make a vow to Allah that I will carry my suitcase with my clothes in it. Carrying a suitcase with clothes in it is not an act of worship. So this doesn't count as another. However, if it is a permissible thing that leads to an act of worship, then the same ruling does apply. So, for example, if a person makes a vow to walk from their home to the masjid. Now, going to the masjid and arriving at the masjid, this is an act of worship. The way, the means of transportation, the way that a person arrived there is from the permissible things. Whether he drove his car or walked, they're all permissible. But because it becomes a way of arriving at an act of worship, then that walking from the home to the masjid, if it's made a vow, is considered another. So that's the first condition that must be present, the first prerequisite that must be in place for another to be valid. The second thing, the second prerequisite that must be in place for another to be valid, is that it must not be in an act of disobedience to Allah. So a person may not make a vow to do something that's disobedience to Allah. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith, whoever vows to obey Allah, then let him obey Allah. And whoever makes a vow to disobey Allah, then let him not disobey Allah. That's the second thing. The act of worship, or the nadr, must be in an act of worship, not an act of disobedience. The third of the prerequisites in order for a nadr to be valid is that it must be in something that the person has the ability to perform. So a person may not make a vow, and it's not considered valid to make a vow to do something that's not possible for a person to do. So if a person made the statement, for example, that it's Allah's right upon me and I make a vow to carry a mountain, or it's Allah's right upon me and I make a vow to fast every day for the rest of my life, both of these things are impossible. So they would not be considered valid vows or nadr.
بارك الله فيكم. وأيضا مما يذكر أن هذا النذر من العبادات التي في أصلها يكره البدء بها، كما جاء في الحديث أنه صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم قال إن النذر لا يأتي بخير إنما يستخلص من البخيل. إن النذر لا يأتي بخير إنما يستخلص من البخيل. فابتداء النذر كما هو معروف عند أهل العلم يقولون أنه يعني كما هو مذهب الجمهور أنه يكره، وذكر بعض أهل العلم أنه يحرم، لكن المقصود بكونه عبادة بعد ذلك أنه متى ما التزم العبد به وجب الوفاء به، وجب الوفاء به بعد أن يلتزمه العبد. ثم قال الشيخ رحمه الله بعد ذلك قال والخوف. وهنا يعني ذكر بقية الأمور الأخرى، الخوف والرجاء والتوكل والإنابة والمحبة والخشية والرغبة والرهبة والتأله والركوع والسجود والخشوع والتذلل. الخوف يعني يرد عندنا هنا سؤال، ما الفرق بين الخوف وبين الخشية؟ الخوف والخشية والرهبة، هذه ثلاث أشياء قد تكون أو فيما يظهر أنها بينها نوع ترادف وبينها نوع اتفاق، لكن الرهبة يعني فيها شيء والخشية كذلك فيها شيء، والخوف يعني هو الجامع لها. فالرهبة يقول العلماء أنها نوع من الخوف، الرهبة نوع من الخوف لكن مع زيادة الإمعان من في الهرب من المخوف منه. يعني إذا خاف الإنسان من شيء فإنه يترتب على هذا الخوف إحداث أمر معين كالجري مثلا منه، كالجري مثلا منه. فكون الإنسان يخاف من الشيء ثم يمعن في الهرب، يعني يجتهد، مقصود بالإمعان الاجتهاد في الهرب من المخوف منه. ولذلك قال الله جل وعلا وإيايا فارهبون، يعني خافوا مني مع إمعانكم ومع حرصكم على أن تهربوا من غضبي وتلجأوا إلى رحمتي. هذا المقصود بالرهبة، وهذه الرهبة هي ضد الرغبة، ضد الرغبة الذي سيأتي ذكرها، ضد الرغبة التي هي الإمعان والاجتهاد في طلب المرغوب فيه. الرغبة هي الإمعان والحرص على طلب المرغوب فيه. والخشية، الخشية خوف مع العلم بمنزلة المخوف منه، زيادة العلم بالمخوف منه. ولذلك كانت الخشية صفة أهل العلم، كما قال الله جل وعلا إنما يخشى الله من عباده العلماء، وكما قال القائل أيضا إنما العلم الخشية، والعلم ما أكسب خوف الله فمن خلا منه ففدم الله. فهذه بالنسبة للفروق بين الخوف والخشية والرهبة. القاسم المشترك بينهم هو الخوف، والخشية كما ذكرنا أنه خوف من المخوف منه مع العلم بمنزلته العظيمة، والرهبة خوف مع الإمعان في الهرب منه، وهي ضد الرغبة التي هي الإمعان في طلب المرغوب فيه. نعم تفضل
شيخ، ممكن تعيد علي التعريف الآخر للخشية؟ إنما العلم خشية،
إنما العلم الخشية والعلم ما أكسب خوف الله، تريد هذا؟
نعم.
والعلم ما أكسب خوف الله فمن خلا منه ففدم لاه، يعني غبي أو أحمق. ستيوبد يعني.
أي صح صح.
فيقولون هكذا.
أحسن
الله يبارك.
Likewise, the nadr is one of those acts of worship that in and of itself, it's makruh to initiate. So initiating a nadr or a vow is something that is disliked. As we have in the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the nadr does not bring about any good. It's only something that is like squeezed out of a stingy person. And so initiating another is something which is disliked. It's makruh, as many of the scholars have said. In fact, some of the scholars have said that it's haram to initiate another. However, they all agree that once it has been initiated, regardless of the ruling of doing the initiation of the another, once it's already been initiated, once a person has made the intention and made the statement, once they've already made this obligatory upon themselves to do this act of worship, now it becomes obligatory upon them. They have to fulfill it. It's binding on them. So this is one of the acts of worship that the Allah rahimahullah was enumerating when he said that the worship of Allah is directing things to him that may be directed to nothing and no one other than him. From amongst them are another. The next thing on the list of acts of worship that may only be directed to Allah is al-khawf, or reverential fear. Then we have the rest of the list is al-raja, or hope and longing, al-tawakkul, which is trust and reliance, inaba, which is turning to flee towards, and repentance and obedience, al-mahabba, which is love, al-khashya, which is awe and fear, raghba, which is desire, rahba, which is dread, ruku', which is bowing, sujood, which is prostrating, so on and so forth, until we get to al-khushu', which is reverential humility and submissiveness, and التذلل, or humbleness and submission. So we have a number, a list of acts of worship here in the treatise. The Author, rahimahullah, said that these are acts of worship. Performing them is only to be done to Allah. So the minute that a person directs one of these things to other than Allah, it becomes an act of shirk. Now, we have a few words that are part of the list here that all may be translated into English as fear. So the one that we've got to after another is al-khawf, al-khawf, which may be loosely translated as fear. And we have also on the list al-rahba and al-khashya, which also may be loosely translated as fear. We have the text, a slight differentiation, just like in the English language. We have some words like awe and fear, or dread, which is a type of fear. So the person may pose the question, what's the difference between these things? If they all have to do with fear, what is the difference between them? It seems that they're just synonyms of one another. And the answer to that is that if we were to define precisely al-rahba, which is a type of fear, that would be a type of fear, as the scholars have said, which accompanies a sincere effort to run away from the thing that one fears. So not only is one afraid of something, but they try their best to flee from that thing. So when a person fears something or someone and they run away, that is rahba. So we have in the book of Allah that Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَإِيَّايَ فَرْحَبُونَ. So me and me alone have rahba of. So have this rahba of me, which means fear me, and also, as in the explanation of the verse, try hard to run away from my anger. So this is the fleeing part. Try hard to run away from my anger and to seek refuge in my mercy. So this is what is meant by the fear. It's not only the emotion, but it's accompanied by the action of trying hard to run away from what one fears. Rahba, or this fear, along with running away from what one fears, or fleeing from what one fears, is the opposite of the word raghba, which is longing for, hoping for, desiring for, or trying hard to attain what one desires. Yet another word on the list of acts of worship that may be translated as fear, khashya, which may be translated as awe and fear. The scholars say that the difference between this and rahba, which is fearing and trying to get away from, this means fear with an added level of knowledge of how very great the feared thing is. And this type of fear is what is described in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal as what the people of knowledge feel towards Allah Azza wa Jal. When he says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ, it is only the people of knowledge who truly have khashya of Allah. So they fear him because they know how very great he is. And there was a bit of a verse of poetry that says, knowledge is only khashya. And knowledge is what makes the person gain the fear of Allah. And whoever is free from it and does not attain it, then he's an idiot. And I didn't get the entire wording of that verse of poetry on the first time. The Shaykh, Jazakallah Khair, he repeated it for me, and he did me the favor of translating the last word as stupid. So, whoever doesn't fear Allah, then he's stupid. So these three types of fear that we have listed in the text, they all have something in common, but the difference between them is that one involves fleeing from the thing that a person fears, another involves having an added level of knowledge of how great the thing that they fear is. Fadal Shaykh.
الله يبارك فيكم. ومما ذكره رحمه الله قال والمحبة, ثم جاء في أيضا كذلك بالرغبة. وقد يقول قائل يعني ما الفرق بين المحبة والرغبة؟ المحبة مأخوذة من الحب، ولذا من أحب الله بقلبه قدمه على كل محبوب، كما جاء في حديث المتفق عليه عن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه وأرضاه: ثلاث من كن فيه وجد بهن حلاوة الإيمان، ثم ذكر أن يكون الله ورسوله أحب إليه مما سواهما. والرغبة مراد بها الرغبة في فعل ما يحبه الله ويرضاه من الطاعات. إذن الرغبة هي أخص من المحبة، الرغبة أخص من المحبة. والرغبة إذا عديت بفي كانت بمعنى طلب تحصيل ما يحبه المحبوب. إذا عديت بفي يقال رغبت في، رغبت في كذا وكذا، يعني طلب تحصيل ما يحبه المحبوب. وأما إذا عديت بالباء فإن كان يقول رغبت عن، عفوا، إذا عديت بعن، إذا عديت بعن فإنها تكون بمعنى رفض ما يحبه المحبوب، رفض ما يحبه المحبوب. فالرغبة زيادة عن مجرد المحبة، الرغبة زيادة عن مجرد المحبة. فالمحبة المجردة بلا رغبة لا يقترن بها حرص وطلب، أما المحبة مع الرغبة يقترن بها حرص العبد على طلب ما يريده المحبوب، على طلب يعني ماذا، تحصيل ما يحبه المحبوب. نعم.
Also from amongst that which the author rahimahullah mentioned in the treatise, from the list of those things which are acts of worship, is al-mahabba, or love. And he mentioned after that al-raghba, which may be translated as desire. So since they have something in common, love and desire, someone may say, what is the difference between the two? The answer is that al-mahabba, or love, which is taken from the word hub, means someone loving something with his heart. And when a person loves Allah with his heart, then he puts him before everything else that he loves with his heart. As we have in the hadith that's muttafaq alayhi in Bukhari and Muslim on the authority of Anas radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet ﷺ said, there are three things that whoever finds them will truly taste the sweetness of Iman. And from amongst those three things are that he said, ﷺ, loving Allah and His Messenger more than anything other than them. So that is muhabba. Al-raghba, on the other hand, is something which is a little bit more specific than that. And linguistically, if we have the word raghba and after it comes fi, okay, if we have a sentence with the verb raghiba and after it comes the word fi, then the meaning is striving hard to attain something that one loves. Okay, so raghba is not only loving something but working hard to attain it. That's if we have in a sentence raghba and then fi comes after it. So when a person says they have a raghba fi, they desire in something, okay? So loose translation, desiring for something, or yeah, probably in English it's better, we'd say desiring for something. What is meant in Arabic is that they love this thing and they are working hard to get it. Whereas if there's a sentence with the verb raghiba, and after it comes the preposition an, it means the opposite. If it says, someone says raghiba an so and so, it means that he is rejecting what is loved. It means a person is turning away from it. Okay, so it's depending on which preposition comes after the verb raghiba, it can change the meaning either towards seeking after something and working hard to get it, or turning away from it and caring less about it. So the word raghiba is not only love, but it's love along with a sincere effort to try to gain something. And so if someone loves something, yet they're not trying hard to attain it, then it's simply mahabba and it's not raghba. تفضل شيخ.
بارك الله فيكم. وهذه العبادات المذكورة آنفا التي هي الخوف والمحبة والخشية والرغبة والرهبة، هذه كلها يعني مما ينبغي أن تكون من العبادات التي يسمونها عبادات مقابلة، يعني كما قال الله سبحانه وتعالى ففروا إلى الله إني لكم منه نذير مبين، الفرار من الله إلى الله، محبة وخوف وخشية. فالإقبال أو في الإقبال في قلب العبد ينبغي أن يكون بين الخوف بين الخوف والمحبة من جهة، وهكذا أيضا ذكر رحمة الله عليه بعد ذلك الرجاء، ذكر رحمه الله بعد ذلك الرجاء، والرجاء هو أن يطمع العبد في رحمة الله سبحانه وتعالى وأن يحقق الله جل وعلا له الرحمة والمغفرة وما إلى ذلك. فإذا اجتمع في قلب العبد الخوف من الله سبحانه وتعالى من عذاب الله، وفي نفس الوقت الرجاء الذي هو أنه يطمع أن يغفر الله سبحانه وتعالى له ويرحمه، هذا الاجتماع هو الاجتماع المحمود. أما إذا غلب عليه الخوف دون الرجاء، فقد قال بعض السلف من عبد الله بالخوف فقط، فماذا يعني ما أذكر اللفظة الآن، من عبد الله بالخوف، الله المستعان نسيتها، ومن عبد الله بالرجاء فتزندق. نعم، فالذي يزعم أنه يخاف الله فقط ولا يرجوه هذا مبتدع، ومن عبد الله بالرجاء فقط فهو أيضا مبتدع. فلا بد أن يكون الرجاء والخوف في قلب العبد كالجناحين للطائر، فالطائر لا يستطيع أن يطير إلا بجناحين، لا يستطيع أن يطير إلا بجناحين، فيجمع بين الخوف وبين الرجاء وبين الخشية والمحبة والرغبة وما إلى ذلك من هذه العبادات. ولعلنا نكتفي بهذا، وإن شاء الله تبارك وتعالى في الأسبوع القابل نكمل إن شاء الله من عندما وقفنا من عند الرجاء، والله الموفق.
السلام عليكم، بارك فيكم، نفع الله بما قلتم شيخنا. Likewise, from the acts of worship that were mentioned in the text by the author, Allah, after khawf, which is fear, and mahabba, or love, and khashya, which is awe and fear, and raghba, or desire, and rahba, and dread, all of these are acts of worship that go hand in hand, that they must balance out one another. We have in the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. So, turn to and flee to Allah. إِنِّي لَكُمْ مِنْهُ نَذِيرٌ مُبِينٌ. Certainly I am to you a plain warner. Fleeing from Allah, there's no way to run away from Allah except by running towards Allah. You run away from His punishment and towards His mercy. So some of these acts of worship that are here in the text, they go hand in hand. They must balance one another out. They go hand in hand. And so they are like two things that complement one another that can't be done individually. So when it comes to khawf, for example, fearing Allah, one's fear of Allah must be balanced out by the mahabba, or love of Allah. The fear and love must go hand in hand, and they must be equal. They must balance one another out. Likewise, the fear of Allah's punishment and the raja, or the hope for His mercy, must balance one another out. They must go hand in hand. When a servant desires for Allah's mercy and hopes for it, he hopes for His forgiveness and so on and so forth. This is one aspect, and it must be balanced, on the other hand, with a fear of Allah's punishment and a fear of Allah's anger. So these acts of worship complement one another, and they must be balanced. And whenever this balance is present in a servant's heart, then this combination of these acts of worship is something which is praiseworthy. If one of the two that complement one another, however, overcomes the other, then this is blameworthy. For example, if a person fears Allah, they fear His punishment, without hoping for His mercy, then this is blameworthy. As some of the scholars have said, that whoever loves or whoever worships Allah only with fear, then Sheikh said, I've forgotten the exact wording of the hadith. It's the meaning, however, is that he's not on the correct path. And whoever worships Allah only with raja, or hope only for His mercy, then he has become a zindiq, or heretic. And so whoever claims to worship Allah only out of his love for Him, he doesn't fear Him. He only worships Allah because he loves Him only, doesn't fear His punishment. And this person is a mubtadi'. And the same goes for a person who says that they worship Allah only because they fear Him. Not because they love Him, but they fear Him. This person is a mubtadi'. Fear and hope, fearing Allah's punishment, hoping for Allah's mercy, these things must balance one another out, just as the two wings of a bird balance it out when it flies in the sky. A bird cannot fly except with two wings. And once an ibadah of Allah cannot fly except when these two wings of acts of worship in one's heart balance one another out. And so the fear of Allah must be coupled with and balanced out by the hope for Allah's mercy and the love of Allah. We'll suffice ourselves with this portion for this week, and with Allah's permission, continue in the next part of the treatise in our class next week. And Allah knows best. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Barakah nabiyyina Muhammad. جزاكم الله كل خير يا شيخنا الله يبارك فيكم وفي عملكم إلى اللقاء القادم إن شاء الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.